Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Matthew chapter 6 we read before the prayer. And I know if you've been around here at any time, any length of time, you've heard me use these verses. And don't get dull in this hearing. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith cometh by hearing. And I need you to see this because Jesus thought it important enough when teaching us how to pray. He injects this at the beginning of this prayer that Jesus instructs his disciples to pray. This is not a kiddie prayer that you graduate from, that you mature out of. This is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. It is a prayer that he's given us as a model to prayer. And the first petition of that prayer here in Matthew 6:10 is, "Thy kingdom come." Say the rest with me. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus is saying, when you pray at the beginning of your prayer, he makes this our petition that his kingdom come, that he take dominion over our lives, and that his will be done in earth just as it is in heaven. So if the will of God were automatic, if the will of God was going to automatically be done in your life, then why would Jesus here in teaching us how to pray, why would he say, pray like this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth," in my life, on earth, just as it is in heaven? Because you know, we've made it a habit of our own will coming to pass or something happening in our life that to clean up or justify, we just said, well, that just must have been the will of God. You know, we lose a job, we got fired. And then we say, well, it was just God's will. He had been leading me to leave that job anyway. Okay, was it his will that you kept showing up late? Was it his will that you stole all the company's ink pens? Was it his will that you halfway did your job, that they finally had to get rid of you? See, don't sum everything up to being the will of God, especially when you had something to do with it. Yeah. Amen. So Jesus said here that the beginning of the prayer is, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So that means I'm seeking God's will in my life. His will is something that we seek. It's something that we should desire. His will is not going to always line up with our will. Jesus is the perfect example of this. In Matthew 26, when Jesus was at the night of his betrayal, where he would be taken into custody, where he would give his life for ours, he prayed to the Father, and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus submitted to the will of God when he was faced with the emotion of and the conflict of his own will. He submitted to the will of God. And had Jesus not submitted to the will of God, we don't have a Savior. Had Jesus not submitted to the will of God, we don't have a Redeemer. Today, I know that my Redeemer lives. Today, I know that he who knew no sin on that cross bore my sin, that today I could be saved, and I would not have that hope and that salvation that I've come to know in my life. I would not have it had Jesus not taken his will and surrendered it to the will of the Father and taught me by example how to surrender my will to the will of the Father. And the question is what breakthrough, what manifestation, what glorious dividends are going to come to your life when you make a decision to surrender your will to the will of God? And I've been around, you know, for a minute, and I've done ministry since I was 18 years old. 17 years old. And so it's been better than 5 years now. And I know there are a lot of believers out there that sincerely want the will of God. That Lord, I believe you do know the future. I believe you've seen the future and that you have my best interests at heart. And Lord, I just want to know your will. And if that's you and you're just seeking the will of God and you desire his will, I want to show you in the word a few things that you can apply that you don't have to be in a dilemma, that you don't have to wonder whether or not this thing be the will of God or not. So that's what this series is about. And if you're not one that has been seeking God's will, prayerfully, this series will move you to say, man, you know what? I'm going to start taking these things to God in prayer, and I'm going to start living by his word and living by his will so that I can make the best decisions. And why not? When this God that we honor and serve is the God of all creation, he is the author of time, and he stands outside of time. He sees the past, the present, and the future all in one glimpse. I mean, if you were traveling somewhere out of state or out of the country, it might be wise to pull up a weather app and see what the weather's going to be where you're going so you can be prepared for your travels. Well, listen, when you go to God and you seek his will in your life, it's like knowing what the forecast is so I know how to prepare. Why not seek this God who knows my future and who has a plan for my life? Why not seek his will? Jesus here is saying this should be the foundation of your prayer life. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pray that out loud again. Ready? Read. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now let's come to Psalms, the book of Psalms, and I want to go to the 119th division, Psalms 119. That's about the middle of your Bible, so if you're using a printed word today, just follow it right to the beginning, opening up right there to the, middle, and you'll find Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. I'm going to be sharing a lot of verses today. Some I may not turn to, so take good notes. If you're using a smartphone or iPad, write them things down. If you're using a flip phone, borrow a pen and paper because that's going to take too long. You don't want to have to hit that button 3 times to get to the right letter. Do y'all remember those days? Woo! I think all teenagers should be forced to use a flip phone just for the sake of doing it. That ought to be a parent's new line. Straighten it up or you're getting a flip phone. I met a kid the other day that had a flip phone. I said, man, you have the wisest parents I ever met because look, we had a flip phone. I said, that is perfect. You don't have to worry about mess on social media. You don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Thank God for the flip phones. Do they still make them? All right, watch this. Psalms 119. Every kid in here just said, I hate that preacher. I was just kind of joking, all right? Psalms 119, verse number 89. When you get there, say amen. Okay, so let's make sure we're getting this. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so I'm praying, Lord, what is your will? I know your throne is in heaven. What is your will for me in the earth? Do you know ultimately that's why we exist? Do you know ultimately that is God's purpose for our lives, is that we advance the kingdom of heaven in the earth, that we be ambassadors of heaven, that we represent heaven's culture, heaven's love, heaven's truth, heaven's faith, that we advance the will of heaven in the earth? That's supposed to be our mandate. That's supposed to be our cause. So Jesus said, when you pray, pray the will of God as it is in heaven be done in the earth. Well, how do I know the will of heaven? How do I know if something is the will of heaven? So watch this here in Psalm 119, and we'll look at it down in verse number 89. Psalms 119, verse 89. If you're there, just say amen. Amen. All right, watch this. Forever, forever. For how long? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Read. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now let's read it again. So let's put a little umph in there, a little emphasis in there, all right? Forever. We need to emphasize that, oh Lord. Thy word is settled. I mean, you got to put a little something in there, all right? Let's try it again. Ready? Read. Forever, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That sounded so much better. Glory to God. Forever. Not until year 2010, not until year 2020, no, forever. Not until legislation changes, no, forever. Thou, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It doesn't matter who is on an earthly throne. It doesn't matter who is seated in power. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court may say about this, that, or the other. Forever, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. When it's popular, when it's not popular, his word is settled in heaven. So the first thing that we're going to look to when trying to find the will of God in our life is his word, because the word of God is the will of God, and the will of God is the word of God. You cannot separate God's word from his will. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. If you're looking for his will, turn to his word. I'm telling you that his word is packed with revelation, and there is nothing that relates to life that you can't find answers to in his word. Let his word be the foundation of his will in your life. That is so important that we put his word first. Lord, what does your word say? Listen, fads change, phases change, seasons change, all these things change. But God says here, forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, is a settled issue. And God is so sensitive about his word that in the book of Revelation, in the 22nd chapter around verse 18, and I know it's in reference to the prophecy of Revelation, but it shows the heart of God. He says, don't take away from my word and don't add to my word. I know there are new Bibles being written. I heard of a Bible the other day that took the story of Sodom and Gomorrah out of Scripture because it's not LGBT friendly, and so it's been taken out. But listen, the word of God is the word of God. It does not change with time. It does not change with season. And God says, don't take away from it. Don't add to it. It is what it is. And I've made a decision. As for me and my house, we're going to live by the word of God, that the word of God is the word of God. You say, you're very narrow-minded. Call it narrow-minded. I call it life. This word has saved me. This word has changed me. And I've seen its power in countless lives that have surrendered to its authority. God says, don't play with my word. My word is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. How are you going to vote on what's already legislated? God's word is settled in heaven. Now, let's do this. Keep your bookmark here because I want to show you some other verses. So if I'm praying, Lord, your will be done on earth, help me with it, as it is in heaven, then how do I know the will of God in heaven? Church, you know, our surrendering our will to his is the choice we have to make. God said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he said, I've set before you life. I've set before you death. I've set before you blessing. I've set before you cursing. He says, choose life. That whole statement in Deuteronomy 30, 19 begins with this. God says, I have called heaven and earth to record this. God says, I've called heaven and earth to record this. That he has given us this right to choose. But his word shares with us, it reveals to us heaven's will. But at the end of the day, church, listen, that's your decision. That's your decision. God's made you a free moral agent. And we have to choose God's will. It's not going to be automatic. I'm not one of those people that just think whatever happens, happens. Well, you know, I got pulled over today, you know, and I got a ticket. But you know what? It was just God's will. It was God's will that you speed. It was God's will that you break the law. I mean, so many times we do things that make things happen, and then we just say, well, that was just God's will. We've got to stop this lackadaisy approach to, well, whatever happens is the will of God. I'm not saying he's not big enough. I'm not saying he's not sovereign and his will ultimately cannot be done, because I know it can. I believe that even if I have messed things up, I can go to him in repentance and he will take the bad I've done and turn it for good. I believe that he is that powerful, that his gifts and his callings are without repentance, but I do not believe that he authors my sin and he authors my mistake just to do his will. No, his will is something I have to surrender to, and I would rather come to the place of surrendering to his will because I found it in his word versus finally surrendering to his will because I learned through the lesson of hard knocks. Amen. Now, watch this down in verse number 133. We're still in Psalm 119. Read this first statement with me out loud. Ready? Read. Order my steps in thy word. Come on, read that again. Order my steps in thy word. Look at the prayer. Lord, order my steps. I've got a decision to make. I have to go in a direction. Order my steps. I don't want to take a step until I know that step's been ordered by you. And he's saying, Lord, order my steps in your word. Imagine what would happen if we begin to let his word order our steps. Not our emotion, not our fears, not our anxieties, not our reservations, none of that. If we were just submitted to the word of God and said, Lord, order my steps in your word, dear Lord, lead me, guide me every day. I ain't doing no more. That's it. Y'all, what y'all looking for? Y'all heard of a one-hit wonder? I'm a one-line wonder. That means you wonder why I sung that one line. Order my steps in thy word. Say that out loud. Order my steps in thy word. If you think you can sing it, say it. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. See, we need to have that meditation. Lord, I want my steps to be ordered by your word. What have you said? Now, I pray as I seek his word for direction, but I don't have to read his word and then pray about what to do. When his word tells you what to do, there's no need to pray about it. You've already heard from the one you're praying to. Hey, that's good. If God's word tells me to do a thing, I don't have to pray about doing it. I just need to do it because his word already said to do it. Glory to God. So, you know, when you begin to allow his word to direct your path, there are things in your life that are going to get eliminated that are not his will because his word's going to disqualify that. And you may be single and praying about marriage and thinking about marriage or you know, and just moving forward with that. But when you take God at his word describes, for an example, for a woman, what kind of man to avoid. And what a man should be if he's going to be your husband. And for a man, God's word it's got a chapter in Proverbs 31. It tells you what kind of woman you want, a virtuous woman. And it's got plenty of information on what kind of woman you don't. So if I just applied his word through the process of elimination, you're going to go down to a small number. And that's when the Holy Spirit can begin to speak. Because it's not like I went to the book of Proverbs and found Chrissy Lafitte's name when I began to pursue her for a relationship. But everything I knew about her lined up with this word, amen. And at the same time, it didn't even have to line up in the word because I liked her. I'm so glad she was in line with this word. Otherwise, I would have been on a merry-go-round and around with Jesus, trying to make something that wasn't his will, my will. So let his word begin to, you know, lay out the perimeters of marriage and relationship. And now his logos word, his written word, is going to bring you into a place of safety where his rhema word, that's his spoken word, that's where his spirit can guide you. See, when you look at the word in the Greek, and I know we're reading in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, but in the Greek, the word is either translated logos or rhema. And a logos word means written word. That's the Bible, God's written word. And the rhema word is when his spirit speaks. That's a rhema word. Many people want a rhema word, but they don't realize you have to be faithful over a logos word before you get a rhema word. Because the logos written word is going to get you in the right place to hear the rhema word. Hallelujah. Now, let's come further in this. So he says, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. But there's more I want you to see. So let's come down to verse 169. Verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Say it with me, that last statement. Ready, read. Give me understanding according to thy word. So when you pray to God, ask him for understanding. When you open the Bible to read it, ask him for understanding. Before you go to a church service, pray over that service. Say, Lord, you know what I'm dealing with. You know what I don't know. But I ask that you move on that minister, move on that pastor to speak a word that is relevant to my life. You want to always approach God's word in prayer, asking God to give you understanding, asking God to open your heart to receive what he has for you. Hallelujah. But don't just open the Bible, you know, without being intentional when you open God's word. You know, if you're seeking God's word for an answer on a thing, get you a topical study Bible or use a Bible app and just type in a word, and you can pull up all the verses that contain that word. Study topically in God's word. If you don't have no tool, ask the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, I don't have nothing but your word right here. Lead me, and just open his word and ask him for direction. But don't just open his word. Be intentional and say, God, in prayer, I'm seeking, Lord, an answer. Show me, give me understanding in your words. That make sense? All right, let's turn forward to the book of Isaiah, and I want to go to the 55th chapter. Isaiah chapter number 55. Hallelujah. Now, you might be saying,
well, you know, that Bible was written by man. How do I know I can rely on that?
Well, I don't have time today to talk about all that. You just said a mouthful, and I had a hard time quoting you. But I want to encourage you, if you have any reservations about God's word being God's word, there is an amazing book written by a guy by the name of Josh McDowell called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I think, matter of fact, he's come out with a second edition called New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And here's a man that had Christian friends that were always trying to convert him, and he got fed up with them. And so he decided that he was going to write a book to prove that the Bible was not true. And he was going to prove that Jesus was a hoax. So he goes on this journey with this agenda to disprove God's word. He's an unbeliever. He doesn't accept Christ, and he wants evidence to prove none of this is true. And so he gives his life away for this cause. In the process of finding evidence that this is not God's word and that Jesus is a hoax, he got saved and converted. Ended up writing his book, but to prove the other, that the Bible could have only been written by God, and that Jesus is who he says he is. And if you really want to dive into a study that just gives credibility and just will build up your faith in the integrity of God's word, it's called New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. An amazing testimony. This man now has been a minister of the gospel all of his life, and it's a powerful read, okay? But when you seek God's word, when you seek God's word, You're tapping into his authority. Now, watch this here in Isaiah chapter number 55. And I want to begin in verse number 8. God's not going to move solely through your emotion, because emotion spills over. Listen, I hate to say this, but there are some of you that have stepped in this church that acted like you were in love with Jesus, but it really wasn't Jesus. It was a relationship with somebody else. Then that emotion just spilled over, and we'll know that's true if something happened to that person, and then we see your fire for God. Emotions have a way of spilling over. So sometimes in our life, God has a way of stripping us all the way down. And we're just numb. I was at that point in my life. My dad had had several strokes, and he was my best friend. I was in a relationship that had ended. I had a tornado hit my house. I mean, I had all these things that were going wrong. I was broke. Did I mention I was broke? Man, it don't matter what's good going on. When you're broke, man, you're just broke. And man, I just was not happy. And I thought, man, Lord, I'm serving you with everything I got, and I have nothing to show for it. I felt just stripped and empty. It was there that I fall on my face 1:30 in the morning. And I said, Lord, I've been serving you, and I don't like my life. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, you've not been serving me. And so I got in an argument with God, one that you never win. And I'm like, yes, I do, Lord. I serve you. I do this and this and this. And he said, no, you don't even know me. I'm like, Lord, I don't know you. And he led me to his word. And that night I opened up his word and I said, okay then, Lord, show me here who you are. Show me here in your word who you are and what you've called me to do. And I'm telling you that night it was like I got born again, all over again, and my life found purpose because I sold myself out to whatever he would show me in his word. Sadly for me, at that point in my life, I was stripped down. It took me getting stripped down to nothing before I finally laid on my face before God. But it does not require that. Maybe I went through that. Maybe those around you went through that. So you don't have to go through that. Because I'm telling you right now where you are, you can lay yourself down and say, Lord, I just want your will. Show me your will for my life. Open your word to me, Lord. I'm ready to be who you called me to be.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.